Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Friday Drive is back, and let's start with John Edwards. Boy, oh boy, I hope you had a good summer.
I did. I'm starting the show now. Wow, it only goes downhill from here.
We've been on the air for a grand total of 15 seconds and no major mistakes yet.
Yes.
Yeah. My understanding was you went to Asia the past few weeks.
Yep, a couple of weeks in Japan and Korea. A heck of a trip, hot as heck, because it was the middle of July. So it 35 degrees and felt like about 45 and humid all over the place. But no, it was a great time. We saw three baseball games in Japan, one in Osaka, a couple in Tokyo, and then we saw one in South Korea. And baseball games in Asia, it was just amazing to go to because the fans are just so involved. And it's totally different from a game in North America.
Sometimes I look at your life and I want it. That's what I'm saying. All right. Let's review these past couple of weeks. Any highlights you'd like to put forth?
Well, I think the highlight for me certainly was the baseball All-Star game and Cal Raleigh winning the home run derby. I think that was a pretty cool thing to see, especially uncovered the video of the home movie of him at 8 years old, you know, saying that he'd done it. So his dad pitched to him and his brother, Kat. That made it all pretty cool. So that was good. A week ago, I'd have said how the Mariners are doing this year and how they seem to be headed into the playoffs. And then they went to the East Coast and it's all gone horribly wrong in the last week. So yeah. We won't say anything more about that. I think more locally, I think the outdoor game the Alliance put on at the end of May, I think even though the game ended up getting called off at halftime, I think that was a successful event. If they can find a way to get the whole game in next time, that would be good. The team did okay, started off well, kind of tailed off. You know, and there's another Formula One in Montreal that went well. So, and that's been extended for the foreseeable future. So that's good for that event.
You may have been away, but my highlight was Vicky Mboko. She won the Canadian Open in Montreal a couple of weeks ago. And oh, man. And the U.S. Open is starting, John, and that runs till the 8th of September. So it's going to be interesting to see how she does.
Very interesting, because especially with how they've changed the Canadian Open to make it sort of more like a major that runs sort of over a week and a half now. It sort of is very much that environment that she did well in. And yeah, really came out of nowhere to one. I mean, that's definitely sort of something that will stick around for a while. We'll see what she does in New York starting next week.
All right. And I think it's important to mention that your big season is starting. You sports are really getting underway.
Yeah, first football games are tonight in Nova Scotia and in Montreal. A few more on Saturday, then everything really gets going Labor Day weekend.
Where are you going to be the next few days?
On Saturday, I'll be at the Bishop's Mount Allison game. And then from there, we'll see. I think the week after, I'm supposed to go down to Acadia for one. And I may be at Sherbrooke for their home opener as well.
Busy, busy man. John Edwards, We speak at 5:30.
We'll see you then.
Of course, there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Russia.
The Weekly News Review on the Friday Drive.
Weekly News Review, Townships-based economic development expert Michel Retzier. Good to talk to you. Holy mackerel. Let's do it. Let's start up again.
How are you doing on the biking score?
Oh, the biking score is doing very well. But you know what? The truth is I missed you, you big galoot.
I knew you would. I knew you would. But you just said something that ticks me off a little bit. We keep hearing this, that because your vacation period may be over or the kids are back in school, like that's it. It's the end of the world. Summer is over. But it's not. As of today, Friday, we still have 30 good days left to walk, hike, bike, swim, play outside, and do barbecue. So suck it up. It's healthier that way. Let's enjoy what's left instead of looking at the gloom and doom, the fact that it's almost over.
I just love summer. Come on. Oh, by the way, health update on Mike McDevitt. He went from the CHU to the Hôtel Dieu Palliative Care Center in July, and he was transferred last week to Manoir Saint-François. Spirits are good to a point where he actually suggested doing this news review this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I ultimately decided to give him a break. He's a tough SOB, Michel. He checks his Facebook page constantly, and we wish him well.
We do. He's in our thoughts. And if he ever gets enough energy and you think he can do another, I think we should let him do another for his own mind's sake.
All right.
Talking about summer, we and barbecue and barbecue smoke, and we were smoked in for a while there in the Eastern Townships and in Montreal and all over.
It dawned on me this summer as I was biking and looking at Mount Orford covered under the haze. Is this what our summers are going to be like moving forward?
First of all, the forest fire season is still not over. And already we're over 4,400 fires so far this year, mostly out west. 34 indigenous communities were affected. And we have to remember 40,000 people were displaced during the crux of these fires. Sadly, two people lost their lives. This is the second worst wildfire season on record. So far in Canada, over 7 million hectares have burned. That's the size of New Brunswick, Daniel. Can you imagine? That's the size of New Brunswick. It's doubling the 10-year average for this time of year, according to Natural Resource Canada. Manitoba, Saskatchewan were the hardest hit, but BC, Alberta, Ontario also were above their averages. Right now, I don't know if that has calmed down as of today, but there were forest fires in Newfoundland and Labrador. Curiously, Quebec's fire season was much milder thanks to, and if we all remember, a lot of rain in spring and early summer. So sadly, I think this could be the new normal, Daniel.
Yeah. The question is are we doing enough to prepare communities and manage our forests better?
Yeah, that's a hard question. I think we do what we can, but this is also an act of nature. Like if you have a storm, we cannot ensure that we're going to protect the size of our forests. So you will have dryness and drought and electrical storms, and we will have fires. But I guess with the evolution of the impact of climate change, it's something we will need to look into more deeply and try to find other techniques to counter what is happening right now, which is quite unusual.
Here's a sad twist, too. I was reading on how some people are actually starting these fires.
You'll always have the idiots out there that will go camping and leave their campsite without extinguishing the fire. There were a lot of interesting advertisements in the course of the summer about that, which I saw in Quebec. I don't know if it was in the other provinces, but we always have to make sure that use our forest for recreation in a very careful and prudent way.
That's how some people get their kicks. But anyway, it's a sad world. All right, Athabasca, the by-election, a CAQ smackdown, Michel. If you're François Legault, last week's by-election in Athabasca probably felt like a political earthquake.
Yeah, it probably felt like one of those forest fires.
They didn't just lose. They came in fourth with only 7%. So what's driving the shift? Voter fatigue, broken promises? weaknesses, or is the PQ's message just finally resonating again?
Well, yeah. So we had some of our lucky citizens that did go to the poll very recently on August 11th. And this was in a very conservative, mostly rural Athabasca riding. Just to remind you, Athabasca riding is located in the heart of the province, and the main town, Victoriaville, is about an hour northeast of Sherbrooke. It was a surprising election in many ways. A little less than 63,000 registered voters, but 60% of that came out to vote. And the former Radio-Canada journalist and favorite son, I have to say, Alex Boissonneau of the Parti Québécois, got a clear majority of over 4,000 votes against the very controversial right-wing Quebec Conservative Party leader, Éric Duhaime, who scored 35%. It's about just 3% more than he got in the general election of 2022. So, as you said, there was a smackdown for La CAQ, who went from almost 52% voting score in the general election of 2022 to slightly over 7%. Premier Legault said after the election, "Quebecers were disappointed in my government." You think they were? Saclique scandal, this issue of a third bridge and tunnel in the middle of Quebec City, in Montreal, the Maisonneuve Hospital fiasco, cuts to education, and that's just in the last months. I think people are dissatisfied. We have the tendency in Quebec to vote against a government and not always and rarely for a government. So in this case, I think it was against La CAQ. Now it's onwards towards the general election next year in October.
I got you. As far as tariffs, the trade tensions continue. Mr. Trump loves to deal. Deal here and deal there, but there's no deal yet between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Is this political theater? Well, why wouldn't it be? It's Trump, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of performance here. August 1st was kind of a target. It was a deadline. No deal was reached. Trump, in his magnanimous way, just decided to slam 35% on everything Canadian. So right now, we have to keep in mind, it's what is not Canadian origin that is hit by the 35%, meaning auto parts that are not Canadian, 35%. He raised the tariffs on steel, aluminum, and copper to 50. The energy and potash are still at 10. This 35% does not apply to Canadian origin goods, as I mentioned. They are still duty-free under the CUSMA agreement, which replaced NAFTA. 94% of Canadian goods that are exported or could be exported to the United States are technically compliant to the CUSMA rules. But there's still 50% of listed products that have not yet been certified. Canadian producers have not taken the time or trouble to become certified. So there's an incentive there to hurry up. And that is what is happening. In the fall, the level of certified Canadian products was at 38%. And in a few months, now it hit 50. So we can look at this from a good perspective. There's a rush to certify your products. Those that haven't done it out there, go for it. There are still talks between Canada and the United States. We're looking at reviewing the CUSMA agreement, and this was already planned. It was a six-year review, and this is mandated for July 2026. The Canadian government did introduce some measures to mitigate the impacts on Canadian businesses that are hit. So there are remissions, exemptions, support programs, and so forth. And businesses on both sides of the border are talking between themselves. They're planning strategically. They're trying to minimize the disruption. But everything has got to be accelerated. Canadian businesses have got to look at alternate markets and review their supply chains if we're going to live through this.
All right. Very quickly, Michelle, just to finish this off, Zelensky and Trump met in Washington and the European heavyweights were there, but Mark Carney wasn't. What's the deal on that?
Although an interesting fact is Canada is one of the highest contributors to Ukraine, higher than Italy, higher than France. And when I say higher, we've delivered or promised to deliver $12 billion worth of military humanitarian assistance. And Italy is less than $2 billion. And France chance is between 2 or 3 billion now. A few days ago, some experts said that we should have been there, and others are saying, it doesn't really matter. Let's keep in mind, who sent the invitations? It's the White House that sent the invitations. Top European countries, NATO was represented, the EU itself was represented. The Europeans are rightly very worried about the outcome of the Ukraine war. These meetings were, of course, personalized, and I think this shows that maybe the White House and Canada, the relations maybe are a little icy. Canada was left on the wayside. It's quite difficult to understand what happened, but we need to move on, and we need to move on for a lasting peace in Ukraine, that's for sure.
Okay, and Putin doesn't look like he wants to do much.
Putin wants land. He doesn't want peace. So how we're all going to be extirpated out of that quagmire is to watch and see. It's a very, very difficult situation when Trump talks to Putin. He looks like he's so pro-Putin. When he talks to the Europeans, he's so pro-European. So, sorry, who the hell knows where this is going to land? But one thing's for sure, as an observer of this situation for years now, I don't think Putin wants peace. He wants land.
Yeah. Tough world out there, brother.
Yep, it is.
Townships-based economic development expert, Michel Ratier. Thank you so much. Talk to you next week.
Yes, Daniel. Take care. Have a nice week. Bye-bye.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Could say to ease your mind. Maybe there's nothing exciting outside around here. I'm just wasting my time spinning round on nothing new. And when I close my eyes, I remember that kiss. I'd rather keep them wide open. And if I miss the train, do you really think that even here I'd be closing? Chased down, or sometimes I bite off more than I can chew. I know you'd like to keep me near. I know it's easier to be too, but I can't plan my life all around you. I'm weaker than I'll let you know. So don't ask me to jump this wall. From here, it looks too tall. Two people kissing goodbye, facing a door. Classic picture. We're all.
Surely stay.
time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Time for Taylor McClure reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. This is an emotional week, Taylor. This is your last time on this particular segment with us and at CIDI.
It's officially my last day. I am a little bit emotional, as you said, but looking forward to new adventures. And I know I'll always have friends with the CIDI family, so it's bittersweet. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the future as well.
You want to talk about your new project?
I don't know if I can announce it publicly yet, so I think I'll just keep that to myself for now.
I got you. All right. We have a couple of news stories to talk about this week. Taylor, you wanted to speak about Carte Proximité Fermière et Solidaire Project.
Carte Proximité Fermière et Solidaire Project in Sutton actually is being developed by Dana Cooper, who has taken on the role as the coordinator of collaborative projects on food security with the town of Sutton. So in an interview, Dana explained to us that the Carte Proximité Fermière et Solidaire Project actually originated in Montreal with the Carrefour Solidaire organization in 2020. And when she heard about it, she thought it would be a great idea to bring it to the community of Sutton. The objectives of the Carte Proximité Fermière et Solidaire Project is to help address food insecurity, providing access to fresh goods, and also supporting local farmers and producers through the program. So how it works is that people, literally anyone, can purchase the card, but at the same time, they have to make a donation that goes towards the program so that other cards can be purchased and be distributed to those facing food insecurity in Sutton. So the card will allow people to purchase fresh goods at the Sutton Farmers Market for 4 months from July to October from local producers that participate in the program, which include Jardin de Tessa, Les Potagers, Les Numains, Le Raisin, Ferme Radicelle, as well as La Petite Bergerie, Windy Rock Farm, and Miel Missisquoi. So fundraising for next year's program is currently taking place. And those that might be interested in learning more about the project, more information can be found on the Town of Sutton website. And Dana is also hoping to see other municipalities or other farmers markets, you know, implement a similar program in their community. Because as we all know, the cost of living is rising and more people are struggling to purchase food. So this really helps people, you know, have access to fresh goods and to have that included in their diet. So this is a program that they're working on developing in the Sutton area. So it'll be interesting to see how it supports the local community.
Indeed, the costs are out of control. Let's talk about the Day of Action Against Sexual Violence Against Women.
Yeah, so the Day of Action Against Sexual Violence Against Women is being held on September 19th in Quebec. So it's quickly approaching. And we learn more about this year's campaign from Elise Bouvier, who is a social worker with Calac des Rivières Oyamaska Brome Missisquoi, and Maud McKelvey-Fauché, who works in administration with Calac. And Calac supports women in the Oyamaska and Brome Missisquoi area that are facing sexual violence or experiencing sexual violence. So the Quebec Grouping of Sexual Assault Help and Advocacy Center, which is a provincial organization, organizes a province-wide campaign every year. And this year's campaign is running under the theme, Let's Refuse the Unacceptable. So of course, each region in Quebec has its own organization that hosts its own events and awareness campaigns as well. So in the Brome Missisquoi area, the campaign is organized by the Coalition of Women's Groups of Oyamaska and Brome Missisquoi, which includes Calac des Rivières Oyamaska, Brome Missisquoi, as well as Centre Femmes des Cantons, Horizon pour Elles, Maison Alice Desmarais and Centre de Femmes Entre Elles. So this year, the coalition is calling on a better access to justice for the survivor, meaning when women report sexual violence, their reports are taken seriously and that they are believed. They're also calling on a law against sexual violence in schools, particularly elementary school and high schools. At the Cégepin University level, there are tools implemented, you know, around sexual violence, but in elementary school and high school, there isn't. And this is really important for prevention, raising awareness. And they're also looking for measures to combat the precarity of women. So ensuring that women who are living in a situation of poverty, for example, have access to resources that they need if they're experiencing sexual violence. So to raise awareness, the coalition is organizing a walk on Friday, September 19th at 5:30 in Davigneau Park in Townsville. There is a Facebook event if your listeners want more information, but they also noted to me that an event will also be held in Sherbrooke. I suggest checking in with your local organizations and women's groups out there in the Sherbrooke area to get more information about the event that might be held in your local community.
Taylor McClure's last day at CIDI-FM. Taylor, I can't say enough about what you've done for us for the past few years. You've always been there. You've gone above and beyond. And at the same time, you've also been a very good friend. I just wish you the best moving forward.
It's been a pleasure working with you, Daniel, and, you know, getting some information to your listeners out at that neck of the woods and to just keep people connected. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on your airwaves every single week and to have a segment on the Friday Drive. And thank you so much for being one of my greatest supporters and friend as well. I really appreciate it.
A million times thank you and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Not just weather for tonight, clear, low 12. Tomorrow, sunny, high 29. Saturday night, cloudy, a 30% chance of showers, low 17. Sunday, clouds, 60% chance of showers, high 23. Monday, cloudy, and a high of 21 degrees. Just after 5 o'clock, Ed Humphrey comes in to talk about the township's news and events. About 5:12 this afternoon, it's the interview of the week. Angus McKinnon talks about the fire at his farm a few weeks ago and about the Aerscliff Fair. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. Sonia Patnode is back at 5:40. All on the drive, CJMQ and CIDI-FM.